We the people, right? 4th of July sermon ought to have something to do with something this big where people are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars on the weekend, traveling, being with other family, spending it on fireworks to get more expensive, not better, but more expensive and louder, right, each year. And it's amazing, isn't it? We think back to when we established ourselves as a nation, when that Constitution was written and set out before those, the people of the nation and the people of the world. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Would you pray with me, please? Our God and Father, we come before you this morning. Father, first to give you the praise, for you alone are worthy. You are our God. Father, whether it be seen or unseen in this world, we know that by your hand all things were made and set in place. Father, the beauty of a flower, the wonder of a bird that flies across the sky, the rising sun, the sunlight reflected by the moon, the stars and their distance. Father, your hand in creation is incredible. Father, we give you the thanks for allowing us to take part in those things that effort and money cannot obtain. Father, but your love and mercy and grace gives to us each and every day, down to the very breath that we take. Father, this morning, we the people of your church, we give you thanks and adoration. Father, as we take a look at consider for a few moments our nation and ourselves as a people. Father, help us to open our hearts and minds that we might grow, that the world around us might know that we belong to you by our love for one another. In his precious name, we lay these at your feet. Amen. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. That's where we want to begin this morning. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You understand the circumstance of these words, right? Here in Matthew chapter 5, it's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus goes up on the hillside and he sees the crowds coming to him, he sits down and his disciples come to him and he begins to speak to them. And he begins to speak to them things that are unusual for the time period. Words that carry with it an authority that men and women of that age had never heard. And so as he begins to talk about the things that are blessed and talk about life and things that pertain to us, he gets down and he looks at his disciples and says, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hill, you cannot be hidden. Would you cover yourself? You wouldn't do that. No, when you have light, you let it shine to everyone. Those who surround, those who come into the place where you are, that they might be able to see, right? And the reality is, as a nation, as a people, that we gather together this morning, we, the people, are the light to the world that surrounds us. The words of great men have stood through time to show us that the vision once held by our forefathers was one that led the future of a nation to greatness, not because of self-determination, not because of the power of the people, not because the power of a mighty military, not by these things alone, but by faith and belief in a nation that recognize the power and might of God Almighty. And I wrote that out carefully this morning to read it to you so that I wouldn't mess it up. But to remind myself of those words. That our nation was founded on a vision and a belief. That strength came only because there is a God who has created all. I want to just slowly this morning break down that first paragraph from the Constitution and take a look at it as not people of the nation of the United States, but people who belong to the nation that God Himself, through His Son, has built. A more perfect union and establishing justice. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that we will be united with Him. That our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. How in the world could we find a more perfect union or justice? But to know that slaves to sin, being shackled down by those things that hold us in life, whether it be an addiction or the love of money, whether it be the desire for the physical things of this world, they hold you in a way that you cannot turn loose of it on your own. And we struggle. And Jesus comes to us and says, if you'll be united with me in the likeness of my death, burial, and resurrection, I'll give you new life. Perfect union. And I will set you free. When you have had something done to you that's not right, when a crime has been committed upon you, justice is something you long for. And we need to realize Satan is continually doing it to us. But Jesus says, through me, you can be set free. And as I wrote this sermon, I sat down one night and I began to pray because it hit me for the first time that I, not because I'm worthy, but because of God's love, I've been given a type of justice that can't be found anyplace else in life. I've been given freedom to let my light shine to the world that surrounds me. Ensure domestic tranquility. Romans 8:6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. How often in this life do we struggle wanting just some peace? We take vacations, don't we? Why? To find a little peace. Don't we? If we really admit, that's why we spend hundreds of dollars to live a few days in a little bitty square room with sometimes our kids right laying right beside us, right? And that microwave and whatever it is. You know, we're paying all those dollars out because we want to find a little, and then we go home more tired than when we left, right? But through Christ we find life and peace. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Providing for the common defense, right? To give to you those things that you need to face the world around you. You know, as I served as an officer, there were two different departments that I worked for. And I began, of course, working with Tulsa County Sheriff's Office. And the Sheriff's Office is great. They take care of you really well as an officer. And then even as a reserve officer, when I left the office, they supplied for me my leather belt, which is really expensive. You know, it's hundreds of dollars. That's amazing, isn't it? These guys make $8 an hour and they're wearing hundreds of dollars around. It just blows my mind away. My weapon, my ammo, my baton, my pepper spray, my stun gun, all these things, right? My taser, my uniform, you know, and they even have different levels of those, you know. And you learn fast as an officer that polyester and cotton's not always good. There's a reason why those uniforms are wool. You know, if you go to a grass fire in Tulsa County and it's burning, you probably don't want polyester on because it'll melt. And you probably don't want cotton on because it's going to catch on fire pretty fast. So they wear, you know, we'd wear those wool blends and they're hot, you know. But then I went to Kiefer America, right? Keith working for Kiefer, what a thing. And they don't supply anything. They hand you a badge and say, here you go. Where's my vest? Oh, we don't supply that. My gun? Well, you got to supply your own gun. What about it? Oh, no, you got to supply your own ammo, too. I was like, really? And I told you I'd come. Why? I had it good, and I didn't realize, you know. I remember working a few days in uniform, and I didn't have that vest on. Made me kind of nervous, you know. I was used to having that vest on. It was a rule in Tulsa. You cannot work without a vest underneath that uniform. I felt vulnerable. I bought myself a wool shirt and I still felt naked. To have someone who provides for you is a big deal. God says, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to give you armor to withstand what Satan has prepared for you. Because he will scheme. We understand what that means, right? When he talks about scheming, Satan is going to look at everything in your life and he's going to look for weaknesses. He's going to look for that moment in time, that place, that thing that you cannot say no to. And he's going to do his best to put it in front of you, to shoot that arrow at you, to take a shot at you, so that you will fall. And God says, be strong and put on my armor, and you will stand. He provides for our common defense. Promoting the general welfare. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you know, you see the word welfare, right? That doesn't mean today what it used to mean, right? You probably didn't think I was going there with this verse, did you? It's habit, isn't it? We automatically have these thoughts that we don't really put away that we're supposed to. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Providing for the general welfare. What does that mean? That means the things that are good for all of us. What does God do? He puts us together as a family. Why? To care for one another, to give one another. In Acts it says the people had all things in common. They share their lives together. They shared their food together. They shared whatever financial needs they have together. Burnt cabin, right? See that youth minister plug? That was pretty good, right, Steve? How many times I've seen you as a family take meals into people's homes, drop by and pray with them and put your arm around them and console them, or laugh with them. Raise up a new child and smile to spur one another on, to ensure that we're doing the things that we need to do as a family of God. I shared with the kids this morning a story of a classroom, and a teacher says, "List for me the 7 wonders of the world." And they began to listen. They talk about things like the Grand Canyon and the Great Wall of China, right? Finally, she gets to the end and she looks back. One girl says, "Well, what do you have on your list?" And she goes, "Well, I'm having a hard time." "Do you need some help?" "Well, maybe." "Read to us what you have so far, and then maybe we can give you some input." "Okay. The 7 wonders of the world. To see." Yes. "To hear." "To touch." "To feel." "And to laugh." How incredible is that? The wonders of this world are not standing because man put them in place, but because God put them in place. He provides for us the most incredible things. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Galatians 5:1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." To understand that not out of obligation, but out of love. For Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." That our knowledge of the truth gives us a love that drives us to be what we need to be. Only a God of freedom and liberty sets a people about in that way. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7 through 9. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Brethren, we need to share with our children. We need to talk about God when we're sitting at the table, when we're walking along a path someplace, when we're walking down the middle of the mall. God's been good to us, hasn't he? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And our children need to hear us talk about that. They need to hear us say that. They need to hear those words coming from our lips. They need to hear us talking about Scripture and its effect on our lives on a daily basis. That we provide for posterity, for our children, for the future. What we believe and know about a God of liberty and freedom who provides for us in a general our general welfare, can't even speak that, our common defense against Satan. And to know that, as Paul wrote to the Romans, that we are more than conquerors through him. And see that through our lives we believe it with all of our heart. I want to share an illustration with you. Take just about 2 minutes, and then we're going to close the lesson together this morning.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Freedom and fear are at war. The advance of human freedom great achievement of our time and the great hope of every time. Now it depends on us. Our nation will lift the dark threat of violence from our people and our future. We will not tire. We will not falter. And we will not fail. It is made up of men and women who raise our food, patrol our streets, man our mines and factories, teach our children, keep our homes, and heal us when we're sick. Professionals, industrialists, shopkeepers, clerks, cabbies, and truck drivers. They are, in short, we the people.
This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of the people.
We will never compromise our principles and standards. We will never give away our freedom. We will never abandon our belief in God.
We always needed God from the very beginning of this nation. But today we need Him especially. We're facing a new kind of enemy. We're involved in a new kind of warfare. And we need the help of the Spirit of God.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. As we've ensured, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, can separate us from God's love. May He bless the souls of the departed. May He comfort our own. And may He always guide our country. God bless America.
We belong to a nation that was founded on a faith in God. And while we look at men like this who served in a position of power and might, whether they knew God or not, they realize under great pressure that only God has the power to give a nation strength. A nation only is as strong as the people who stand together within it. And the faith of those people can destroy or build it stronger. And as we consider this morning, as those who truly understand what it is to know the Father and know the Savior, we live in a nation, while founded by faith, so many are living in darkness and lost without being provided for. We, the people, are the light of this nation and the world. And I have one simple question for you this morning. Are you letting your light shine? Are you letting your light shine? If we can help you find a more perfect union, if we can help you this morning be united with Christ in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, to begin that new life, to be raised from that waters of baptism, to say, I am the light to this nation and the world that surrounds me, then we want to help you do that this morning. If we can help you just set your life right so that your light will shine, if we can surround you as a people, we the people will do so. Put our arms around you and surround you with our love as you rededicate your life to our Savior and our Father. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song together?